Do you, the three of you, have to pitch in the larger pitch writing meeting, or are you a separate island?
We do everything with the show.
Yeah.
We write sketches for other cast
members. Oh, you do?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. People will sometimes be like, oh, you guys play writers on SNL, right? And I'm like, no, we are writers on SNL.
Wow. This sounds humble braggy, but there's a lot of times when somebody goes like, you guys are the only thing on SNL that I like, which is like not true, but they'll say that. And then immediately you go like, we write a lot of sketches for the show.
We are also the other stuff.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Working Out. Those are the voices of Ben Marshall, John Higgins, and Martin Herlihy, also known as Please Don't Destroy. You might know them from Saturday Night Live. This is such a cool episode today. Unlike any episode we've done before. For example, we purchased more microphones for the episode. It's the first time we're on four microphones. And we have bought chairs. We bought two new chairs, four chairs, four microphones. We talk about all kinds of stuff. I am having an awesome time on my tour right now. I mentioned this last week because of personal things in my life. We moved the Florida shows to March and May, respectively. Jacksonville, Florida is now March 15th. Orlando, Florida is March 16th. Miami, Florida is May 29th, and St. Petersburg, Florida is May 31st. All of those are at super, super cool theaters, and I'm very excited about that. Then in March, I'm going to be in Colorado, basically everywhere. I'm going to be in Aspen, Beaver Creek, Fort Collins, and Denver. A few seats left for those. You'll probably see, if you come to those shows, you'll see Joe Birbiglia at the merch table, slinging merch, skiing the slopes. Joe Birbiglia is on that leg. America's Guest is joining conveniently joining for the skiing leg of the tour. Will he come to Tulsa, Oklahoma? I don't know. April 9th, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Then I'm going to Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, and three shows in Austin, Texas at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival. I posted about this on Instagram the other day. It's just a great lineup. A bunch of comedians who've been on this podcast recently, Rosebud Baker, Roy Wood Jr., Ronnie Chang, and Maddie Wiener are all at that festival. That festival, if you're a comedy fan, like I have some friends who live in Montana, and they're thinking about going to Texas for that festival because it's that good. The lineup is that good. And Austin's a great town, so I would consider that. We added a third and final show at the Chicago Theater April 27th. Then I'm going to be in Los Angeles at the Netflix Comedy Festival. We just added a show in Troy, New York at the Troy Savings Bank. I think it's called Music Hall. It's a place I played years ago with Chris Gethard, and I love... If you haven't gotten this by now with this podcast, I'm a big theater nerd. I just love great theaters. Then I'll be in Rochester. Then I'll be in Toronto at the Elgin Theater. By the way, join the mailing list. This is a good example of this. We're about to add a show in Toronto at the Elgin Theater. It is going to be like the fourth and final show that we're adding. In the case of that, the first people who will be alerted to the best seats, which is, you know, the front of the orchestra, will be you on the mailing list. You listening to the podcast and you on the mailing list on birbigs.com. So do that now. We are going to be adding a show on May 18th in Toronto, a second show Saturday night. Then in June, I'm going to be in Atlanta, Charlotte, Richmond, and Washington, D.C. Once again, we're about to add, I'm just telling you, in my mailing list, we're about to add a fourth show on Sunday night, the 30th, June 30th, if that works out. All of this is on birbigs.com. So Please Don't Destroy is a sketch comedy group from NYU that broke wide on Saturday Night Live. They write for Saturday Night Live. They make short films for Saturday Night Live. Somewhat in the vein of if you enjoy the episode with Yorma Taccone from The Lonely Island, in some ways, they've picked up the mantle that was created by The Lonely Island. We talk about a few of their sketches. Like, if you're not familiar with them, just put in on YouTube, like, Bad Bunny and Please Don't Destroy. I love that sketch where Bad Bunny kind of shows up in a Shrek costume. I won't give away too much more of that. And then we talk about what it's like to work with Taylor Swift. You know, I was in a music video for Taylor's song Antihero, and Please Don't Destroy made a song with Taylor called Three Sad Virgins. It's so funny. Check it out if you haven't. You might notice I try really hard to get Martin Herlihy, who didn't speak when he was on the Pete Holmes podcast. I talked to him quite a bit on the episode. If you watch the YouTube version of it, you get the dynamics of that a lot more. I seated him next to me. He speaks. These guys were on Pete Holmes' podcast, and I was determined to make this a little better because I'm competitive with Pete. This is a fun episode we have today. I think that their stuff is brilliant. I consistently laugh at everything they put out. And of course, they recently made their first feature film, which is on Peacock now, called The Treasure of Foggy Mountain. It is hilarious. It is ridiculous. Enjoy my conversation with the great Please Don't Destroy. So I was listening to you guys on Pete Holmes, and I was just wanted to make sure it was better. Like, what we do here is better today. So, like, what would we do right off the bat? Like, when you guys walked out of the Pete interview, what were you like, that was annoying for this reason?
I think we felt an immense wave of relief leaving that podcast because we were, like, very in our heads about how personal his podcast is and how, like, because we don't do that many interviews. I guess we have more lately, but, like, we haven't talked that much about our real lives.
Martin, let's talk to you. Let's talk to you about your real life.
My real life, yeah.
No one has ever done this.
No, let's start by saying, okay, let's start by this.
Immediately starting on the defensive.
All right, we're going to go around the room. We've never done this before because it's four voices. People are used to two voices on the pod. So, Martin, say your name, where you grew up, and then something that that identifies you as being different from these other guys.
Martin, Ridgefield, Connecticut, and glasses.
Okay. Ben?
Shit. No. That was really good.
That was really good.
Ben Marshall, it's Savannah, Georgia, and I'm tall.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah. Going with just surface level physical attributes.
You guys are blocking already.
John.
Deflect.
John.
Deflecting out of the gate.
Italian. We're getting deeper. Yeah. Italian.
Oh, yeah. We did it out of order.
Italian.
Italian.
Don't.
Sorry.
Don't say that on the
short, fatter than the other two. And Montclair, New Jersey.
Yeah. Wait, so yeah, we have this odd thing in common, which is that I was in Taylor Swift's music video for Antihero, and then you guys made this awesome short for SNL called Three Sad Virgins.
Yeah. I don't even know if I should say it. It's like now I'm
now say it.
We worked with both Taylor and Travis Kelce like before they got together.
Yes,
so
yes.
we can cut this out if you guys don't want to say this, but like she kind of told us that she watched his SNL episode.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And was like, saw him in our video and was like, oh, this guy seems funny.
Oh, that's
and
sweet.
Cool.
Yeah.
So like a little bit brought them together and we were like thinking about maybe saying that on Fallon. And then we were like, I think that if then they ever break up, we will somehow be like pinned as causing this disaster.
Right.
It's just a very precarious situation.
Right.
People have such strong feelings about them.
You know, for me, what was interesting about working with her and then also like you and I both were in A Man Called Otto.
Fuck yeah, dude.
And Otto Brothers, dude.
Yeah, we're Otto Brothers.
You guys were doing A Man Called Otto. What was the vibe on set?
Wait, dude, I have a question. Were you invited to the premiere?
Yeah, I was.
Oh.
Oh. It's interesting.
Wait, I want to. Wait, you didn't get the email?
Yeah, it got lost, I think.
Oh. No, you didn't get invited to the premiere.
No, but I don't think that they remembered I was in it. So that's okay.
Well, they had a list, probably, with your phone number and your email and your address.
Yeah, you're in the call sheet.
They had all the
you're
information. The
open scene.
Yeah,
kind of hard to
guess. Can't miss.
No, but you had a part.
Yes, yeah, sort of. But like, you and I both worked with Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
You worked at the store, and yeah. I was like this kind of evil real estate man. But like,
it was funny seeing you as a dick. Like, it felt so. You did a great job.
Hey.
But it was so not you. It was like real acting.
And that's what Mark Forster wanted from the party. He's like, wouldn't it be fun if I got someone sort of funny and nice
to play like a dick? Asshole. Yeah, you did a great job.
Thanks. And you too. You were great. But like, working with like Tom Hanks and
compliment from Mike.
Wait, are you guys both like burning him on taking the compliment?
No, he spiked. No. He looked in the lens.
Because I got a compliment from Verbig. It's all good.
but when you work with someone like Taylor Swift, or Tom Hanks,
yeah,
I don't know about you, but I have to actively not be in my head about it.
Yeah.
And be like, and you had to like, in your case, you're directing Taylor. Did you have any hint of like, oh, we don't want to say the wrong thing. We don't want to direct this in the wrong way.
It was, the pitch of it was scarier than her on set. Because when she came on set, she had already recorded her vocals, which she did such a good job with and she was excited about. So I was in the room, and we all were in the room when she was recording her vocals. And she was like, what about if I added something like this? So you could tell that she was excited by it.
Yeah.
So by that point, when she came on set, it sounded so fun and good. And she's such a good actress and performer that it was just like two takes. And it was like,
oh, interesting.
Okay. She nailed it really quickly.
Like what you see was like immediately what she did, to the point where everybody was like, I think we got it. Like that kind of vibe. And it wasn't a lie. It was like, that's it.
Yeah.
We don't need any more.
But it is funny at SNL with like other shorts we've made, having an incredibly like famous and esteemed actor who you're just like on zero sleep and you need a certain thing out of them. So you kind of just like forget who they are.
100%.
Like, hey man, can you just do one where you're just not trying to be funny?
Oh my God.
Can you just do one straight, please?
And you're talking about Bad Bunny.
Well, Bad Bunny didn't mean anything.
Well, Bad Bunny was another two takes.
Bad Bunny was kind of just perfect.
And Bad Bunny actually was asleep during part of it because it was so late at night.
He was so
tired. And it helped.
Oh, for real?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it helped
his performance.
Because he was just like, it would be like, hey, Benito. And he'd be like, yeah. And it would be like, just one more take. And you'd enter the room. Hi. And we're like, perfect. like that level of commitment to it in a Shrek costume was perfect.
What's the thing from the personas of Please Don't Destroy that is an exaggeration of the reality of who you are and your dynamic as friends? And what's like kaput on?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I would say that like sometimes I'm like sassy in the videos or like in the movie, and I think I'm kind of sassy in real life.
Yeah.
So I guess
it's like a double sass.
Yeah, double sass.
Yeah, you up the sass.
Yeah.
In the vids, in the movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you're the outspoken one.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that. And then kaput, I don't know. Nothing. I fucking put my life on the line. Isn't that what you said? Something that's kaput?
No.
What did you say before?
You just pulled kaput out of it.
I thought you said something that you exaggerate, then something that you don't.
That's like a put on?
Oh, maybe. I said kaput.
A put on, yeah. So Martin had to call you out on that.
Yeah.
That was kaput. You really misheard that.
Yeah. No, and I don't let that shit slide.
No.
Thanks for getting in there.
Yeah, no problem. Because I know you would have done it if I didn't do it, so I, you know.
Something bad is happening where you guys are teaming up.
Yeah,
and
we're alliance Martin. Forming.
I like it.
Yeah. We're going to get a separate dinner after this.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh. You know what's funny about you guys is, like, I remember, like, messaging with John, like, a while back, and my first impression of you guys was just, like, you don't mess.
With your shorts
on SNL. I'm like, you don't mess. I'm like, it's baffling to me because you guys are age 25 to 29-ish, yep. Right? And it's like, when I was 25 to 29, I missed a lot. Nope.
When do you miss?
Do you miss in high school, college?
Definitely missed in high school and college.
Yeah, no doubt.
But I think we still miss.
Yeah.
And we just, a lot of that shit gets cut out or doesn't like air.
Yeah.
You know,
interesting.
Gets shot down at some point.
That's kind of a lucky thing. Like people talk about like, is there anything that you guys so badly wanted to get on the show that just wasn't quite working. You just couldn't get on. And it's like, not really, because if it's not working, it's like kind of embarrassing. Like you don't want something to go through, really. That's like,
I don't think we've ever had something that didn't do well that we've been like, fuck them. Like we're right. We're nearly always like, and you've said this before, Mark, but we're nearly always like, yeah, no, you're right. That sucked. Mm. Totally. Especially when
Martin
you're coming up with
always points that out.
How stupid we are.
Yeah.
Martin's a genius.
Pretty observant.
Martin and I have decided that we're going to break off from the four-person sketch comedy group that we have here.
God damn it.
And do a duo.
You guys really do. I feel it.
What if you guys did like confessional storytelling together?
Yeah.
Nothing could make me more uncomfortable.
Yeah. But it's funny, Jimmy Fallon, who's my friend, was the person who told me about you guys and when you guys were like hired on the show.
Yeah.
And he was literally like your dad.
He's
Higgins' son has a sketch group.
And
they're fucking hilarious. And I swear to God, in my mind, I go, yeah, they're probably not good.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Swear to God. This is my exact experience of this. And then and then I watch the show. I'm like, immediate convert. Immediate convert. I went total 180.
Wow.
Do you feel like coming in, you were in your head about that? Because your dad is a bit of a comedy legend.
Yeah, not in your head.
And
because
your dad is like a chiropractor?
Yeah. That's what we're telling people.
I don't think that it was so in my head or in all of our heads that it almost wasn't, because we're just like, oh, there's no way that you're going to. If I heard that about somebody else, I would be like, fuck that
shit.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, that's just what you do. But then, so it's just like you kind of accept it and understand how like how lucky you actually are. And it's kind of just easier to process and then to just keep working, I think. So it was like, you think about it all the time so much that you don't almost.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Not really, no.
Martin?
Yeah, I mean, we work a lot, I think. And then, so it just like is something that, by the way, is like our favorite thing. Like finding out that someone didn't like us upon hearing about us and then watched the shit and liked it.
Yeah, you want to flip people.
That's the best.
That's better than like people not caring.
Yeah.
Than people hating us and then liking us.
Yes.
It's like literally as a stand-up comedian, it's my favorite thing. You walk into a room, person dead-faced, and by the end, they're just like losing it.
There's nothing that feels better.
Yeah. So when you guys, is your goal to put one on every week?
Yeah.
We write one every week.
Yeah.
You write one every week?
Yeah.
Do you, the three of you, have to pitch in the larger pitch writing meeting, or are you a separate island?
We do everything with the show.
Yeah.
We write sketches for other cast members.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. A lot.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
People will sometimes be like, oh, you guys play writers on SNL, right? Yeah. And I'm like, no, we are on SNL.
Wow.
This sounds humble braggy, but there's a lot of times when somebody goes like, you guys are the only thing on SNL that I like, which is like not true, but they'll say that. And then immediately you go like, we write a lot of sketches for the show.
We are also the other one.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
It's supposed to be a compliment. And it's like, well, we're there.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Like Seth Meyers always says this thing because he wrote for the show for so many years and hosted Weekend Update and everything. But like, that like, it's all like SNL, and I think this is true. It's like it's always has some great sketches, some bad sketches, and some okay sketches. It's like
almost
every episode in the history, the Farley years, the Chevy Chase years, like it never was 100% by the nature of what the show is.
Sometimes I'm like, I'm gonna go back and binge watch SNL and just like go through like seasons of full episodes. Full episodes of SNL are exhausting.
Yeah,
of course.
Totally.
Like back to back, it's like, oh my God, this is like tiring.
How are these people like watching a full episode live and then like tweeting like, hasn't been good since 75? You just watched that whole thing and then came to the same conclusion you walked in with?
Yeah.
I would never.
By the way, great point, Martin.
Thank you.
This is ridiculous. Thank you.
I really appreciate that.
No, I mean, I just feel like the two of you blabbering on and on. Meanwhile, Martin barely says anything.
And, he just comes
and I
with
cut
a
in
dagger.
With a perfect observation.
Exact.
That no one's made before, by the way. No one has ever criticized the people who say that SNL hasn't been good since the 70s. No, yeah.
No one works at SNL.
No.
So you guys came up with this crazy class of Iowa Debris and Rachel Sennett and like all these people who were at NYU were great.
Yeah.
When you were there and like more, right?
Yeah.
Chloe Trost.
Chloe Trost was on the show. It was great. But like when you were there, did you know? Were you like, nah, it's good. We're like, this is better than other college theater programs.
A little bit.
Kind
of there was that energy of like, I remember us going to, because John and I were on a sketch group called Hammer Cats at NYU, which was like.
I know. I remember when Donald Glover was in it.
Yeah, he started it.
I was.
Oh, because they did.
When I was coming up at UCB with my group Little Man, Donald Glover used to improvise at UCB with Hammer Cats.
That's so
and
crazy.
Was great.
Yeah.
And he was like 20.
Yeah.
We're all like, Donald Glover's really good. Like, this is crazy. And now he's, you know, now he's like an international phenomenon.
Yeah.
Like, so you were in Hammer Cats.
We were in that, but we would do like college comedy festivals at like Skidmore and Brown and stuff.
Yeah.
And the vibe from everyone else was that they hated the NYU groups for being like pretentious, like we're in the city, we're doing comedy for real. Like, I think there was like a snobbiness to that, like we're doing it.
Yeah.
We're in the city. I don't know.
I feel like because I came up like I cast Nick Kroll at Georgetown Improv.
Yeah.
Nick Kroll ended up casting John Mulaney and Jacqueline Novak. And there's a handful of other people who are from that universe. And I feel like I have one friend, Chris, and Don't Think Twice, my movie, like there's a character who like leaves show business, leaves comedy.
Yeah.
And that was my friend, Chris.
Yeah.
Who I'm still friends with. I talked to the other night. And like, we were like, he's the best.
Yep.
And then he just left. I literally said to him after a show at UCB one night, we're at McManus Bar, like on 19th Street. And I was just like, I go, Chris, you don't understand. We're going to make it. Like he was going to move back to Naperville, Illinois with his girlfriend and their kid. And like, you don't understand, we're going to make it. He was like, yeah, I don't care. He literally said, he goes, you might be right. He goes, but I look around and it was like a room full of like literally like SNL cast members and people like that. He goes, I look around at the people who've made it and like, no, I don't want their life.
God. Damn.
You have anyone like that at NYU where you're like, I can't, you don't have to name names, but where you're like, I can't believe they left it.
Wow.
Yes, definitely.
You do?
Yeah, I think so. Definitely. I mean, I don't want to say specific people.
No, I get it. I'm 45, so I can bring it up now.
I'm thinking of like specific people who were so funny that just like.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they don't need it. And then you envy that so much more. They're like, oh yeah, I know I'm super funny and I don't need people.
The affirmation.
The constant like reassurance. And
you ever try and talk anyone into staying in comedy?
No, because I know that it's not like, I'm like, good for you.
I know. I'm like jealous.
Right.
Yeah. That's anybody who is like, you earnestly feel that they're like, no, it's just, I love being funny and doing shows, but I don't want to go through that hell of trying to find a career. It's like, that's amazing. Like,
yeah,
it's so cool to just bow out.
Yeah.
On top in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
It's great.
That's why we're leaving the industry next year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we reached the top.
When we reached the top. Support for Mike Birbiglia's Working It Out comes from Helix Sleep. Helix has been with this podcast from the very beginning. We are huge Helix mattress fans over here. Let me tell you a few things that are great about Helix Sleep mattresses. They are fiberglass free. Unlike other brands, Helix mattresses do not contain fiberglass, which can be harmful to your health. As you may have seen in the news or on social media, There have been a number of health issues and lawsuits related to fiberglass and mattresses. You know, actually, I used to have a mattress that was pure fiberglass. It was literally a bed of fiberglass. No longer. I sleep on Helix mattresses, which are fiberglass free. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/burbigs. That's helixsleep.com/burbigs. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long with Helix. Better sleep starts now. No, now. Support for Working It Out comes from Aura Frames. Looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? This is the perfect thing. Aura Frames. It's like a Wi-Fi connected digital picture frame. Jenny and I have these at our apartment. We love them. Super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. I can't say enough about these Aura frames. So we got them and we loaded up a bunch of photos of like our daughter when she was little and at different stages of development or at different ages, us going to the beach and just vacations and all these kinds of things over the years. And then it just flips to the next photo and the next photo, like every, you know, whatever you put it at, 5 seconds, 10 seconds. And it's wonderful and it just kind of warms up a room. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code WIO at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
I was at the taping of one of your specials.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Which
I was
one?
At...
Thank God for
one
Dokes.
Of the ones.
Thank
one
God for Dokes.
Ones.
At BAM?
I think it was Thank God for
BAM
Dokes.
Harvey.
Yeah. At BAM, and it was with the lady cop guy.
Yeah, that's what I remember seeing you in the footage.
No, you don't.
As you're saying it right now,
no,
I remember seeing you in the footage.
No, you don't.
Are you
yes,
in
I
the
do.
Special? Is he? Do you
I
cut
must
to the
be.
Audience?
I think you are.
Wow.
I didn't realize until he's saying it, but you know, when you edit, as you know, you guys edit a movie.
Crazy.
You spend so much time with the
so
footage. You're literally spending like 65 hours
yeah,
with the footage,
yeah.
You know? So it's like, yeah, I remember you.
Wow.
Oh my
God. I think what I want Ben to do is just reference this in more of his interviews.
Yeah.
So
like,
when
just
I
be like,
was first coming up and I was a featured extra in Mike Birbiglia's Thank God for Jokes special.
Were you in, you were in college?
I think I was
point.
In college,
yeah. Yeah, because this is 2016.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just a fan.
That's so nice.
I am not anymore, but it's
no.
Wait.
So cool.
Why would you, maybe we're going to cut that, but yeah. Thanks for being here, guys.
Yeah, of course, man. What were you saying?
No, but Taylor Swift? Something about
yeah.
Taylor was like,
she's amazing.
We were all like, she's the best at everything. No. But you talked about this on Pete Holmes, but we're going to break it apart in a sort of a more elegant way on this
sure.
podcast.
Yeah. Yep.
You did stand up before.
Yes, Martin
did. Yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
And what was that like?
I only did it for probably like 2 years. But yeah, it was great.
Do you think you'd do it again?
No, I don't think
wow.
so. I think it'd be, I would like to, like as a thing, it seems like an exciting like way to write and perform, but I would be so embarrassed at how bad I would be.
Like
starting again.
Starting yeah. again.
Martin, I'd like to mentor you.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Dude.
Oh,
I
waiting.
Hope this isn't
it is.
Weird.
It is.
I'd like to mentor you.
Yeah.
Like to take you out on the road in the off season, not during SNL.
That sounds good to me. I mean, we have plans, but we can push them.
Yeah, I don't know if you were going to do another movie next summer, but
I was touring with Sebastian Maniscalco. So.
What is the actual when you guys burn each other mm-hmm. as friends? What's your burn of one another? What's your real
well,
burn?
Well, John's Johnny Showbiz.
I'm Johnny Showbiz. So I'll just call it like I sees it.
Do you think that's what you are?
No, that's my character.
But
yeah,
what's
yeah.
your burn? In real life, do you guys make fun of John for being Johnny Showbiz?
You know what? They make fun of me for, I say words wrong a lot. Like the kaput was an
right.
example of that.
Yeah.
Well, wait, what did you say earlier today?
You had a good
Wheels
one.
For Meals.
Oh, yeah.
Wheels for Meals.
Wheels for Meals. I'll do that constantly.
Meals on Wheels.
Yeah, which is our charity.
Wheels for Meals. That's an exchange program where they exchange cars for food.
Yeah. No, it's oil.
It's oil.
Yeah.
Oil for
meals
food.
Meals for Wheels.
Is oil. Yeah. At the end of the day, it's oil, yeah.
So wait, then what's the burn on you? What's Ben's burn?
It's not as, I don't think
What's
that
the
it's
a real life one.
I would say I make fun of John for going to Paris all the time.
I love Paris.
And I realize that ultimately that's making fun of me for not living my life that way.
Do you really go to Paris a lot?
As much as I can.
John will, like, on the Sunday we get off of SNL for a hiatus, he's like, I gotta go. I'm leaving the country.
I just zip out of here.
You really do go to Paris? Yeah. You speak French?
Nope.
This is absurd.
It's really not.
You just like it though.
You want to live big, live well?
Yeah, I get
you
it.
You can do it.
Say no more.
This is John's
show. And then what's Ben's?
It's not.
I don't know.
That's like
you guys are holding out because you guys make fun of each other.
Yeah, definitely.
We definitely do. Like, but it's not like a go-to. It's not like a thing. You know what I mean? It's not like.
No, what I was thinking of that I. This isn't even what you were asking, but I was listening to the John Hurley episode, and it was. What is something that you like about yourself, something that people find annoying about you or whatever? And I thought of the most annoying thing that I do, which is when you guys or any group of friends is like shit talking somebody, I have this like horrible like urge to go like, yeah, but he's a pretty nice guy. And then everybody's like, why do that? Do you guys notice that?
Not really.
Really?
No.
I feel
I don't
like
I've ever stood up for anybody.
I was like, the worst quality about myself is standing up for people. I meant like,
I know
you know
you
when
mean.
You're like
when you like ruin a like
are ragging
like,
on
no,
someone in a fun
yeah,
way,
yeah.
And then it's like
that's funny.
I have like this superstition about like
you have to
talking
be like,
bad about somebody behind their back will like
fuck you up.
I don't yeah. know. Cut this whole part out. I feel like an idiot.
No, I think it was circle take.
Can we just delete that?
Jeez.
I love it.
Wait, so who takes the lead on the pitch?
We each pitch.
We each have
oh,
to
you
do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah,
in Warren's office.
Yeah. You're talking about that, like the Monday meeting with the host?
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody has to do it.
But when they
What about when it's the video?
Oh, they come to our room separately.
Yeah. Usually on the Monday pitch meetings, we're not pitching real ideas.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's more just like something to make the room laugh. They're like a real sketch you're working on that week.
And we're not that good at it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we bomb a lot.
No, we're pretty good at it.
I think we're decent at it, but like, it's like it's every Monday, it's like, dude, we have fucking pitch again. And it's just like the worst feeling.
Because you have to think of like five real ideas and then you're like, oh, I forgot I have to think of a fake idea.
Yes, exactly. Deals. Yeah.
So like with the Bad Bunny dressing up as Shrek, for example, which I love. Like what, is that separate with Bad Bunny kind of thing?
That one we just wrote
at
like 1 a.m. or whatever. And then we read it at the big table read with everybody. But we didn't pitch it to Bad Bunny or anybody verbally before writing
What was the kernel on that? It's
Martin.
It's
your buddy Martin.
It's your buddy Martin. Well, I want to say like I want to compliment Martin basically on everything you do. But like specifically when it comes to the Bad Bunny being Shrek sketch, it's like it didn't get me at first. I was like, come on. And then I'm crying by the end.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
What switched you?
Like, okay. Here's what didn't get me at the jump.
Okay.
He's in the costume at jump.
Yeah.
Right? So you're like, all right, can you follow the costume?
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yes.
And then I think it's when you're dressed up as Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson!
Wait, so Martin, let's focus on you.
Of course.
Yeah. No, like, where did it come from?
I think that The kernel part that you didn't like at the beginning, that I think was what I brought.
Absolutely. That was your idea. And then how's it developed from the kernel to what we see? Because basically for the listeners, people can watch this really quickly on YouTube, but it's like Bad Bunny basically comes to your office and is in a Shrek costume, fully garbed, like a guy like at Disney World kind of thing. And you're like, so you want to do something like a sketch or something? And he's kind of like, no. Like he just plays a straight man and says like, no.
He's being really coy.
He won't admit how much he loves Shrek.
Even though he's in the full amazing costume.
We're like, okay, let's start from square one. You love the Shrek movies? Mm. Not really.
Yes.
I think honestly, like what kind of got us into that like attitude for him was like, he is not a native English speaker.
Yeah.
And there were like, there was a lot of like rumblings of like, oh my God, like this might be like a challenging week. Like
he's
like having trouble a little bit communicating with some people. People were pitching him ideas and it didn't seem like he was totally getting them or whatever. But he still had this like very mellow like energy of like, yeah, I'm down for whatever. He was an amazing guy.
Yeah.
But then we were like, God, there is just like a layer of like disconnect in the communication that we could try to utilize.
Yeah.
And and you use that because basically he's like, You can't connect with him.
Yeah,
you're like you want to do something with Shrek, and he's like
a little bit.
He's exactly.
He's also very like cool and aloof, and it was hard to like parse what was like he didn't understand me or he's not reacting because he's like
such a cool guy.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of my favorite things about your shorts is like the way you guys act is so real to how it would be if a guy showed up as dressed up as Shrek. Like it's like, and like there's something, the performances, I don't want to dwell on performances because it's just like one of those things. It's like you either lock into someone's performance or you don't. But like I really lock in because I'm like, this feels so grounded. Do you ever direct each other? Like, hey, Ben, let's do that one again. Just take it back. You know, like take it down a notch.
Big time.
All the time.
Yeah. And we can be very direct with each other.
Yeah.
Like, I do one way smaller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, if anyone else said that, I'd be like, hey, come on.
Totally.
But with you guys, it's just like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you can, in terms of like burning each other, you can say to somebody, like, hey, do it where it doesn't like sound like shit this time. And that you like kind of like, you laugh and you get it of like, yeah, that one sucked. Like, we're all on the team of trying to make this thing great. So it like does, it's not going to hurt my feelings if that thing wasn't good.
What's funny is I was thinking that I said to my wife, Jenny, I go like, what would you ask the Please Don't Destroy Boys, which is what Sarah Sherman calls you when she's on the podcast. She calls you boys.
Yep.
You offended by it?
No.
You like boys?
Yeah.
You don't mind it?
It's what we are.
Boys.
But the Please Don't Destroy Men feels a little aggressive.
Scary. It's like a gang.
Right. Right.
Please Don't Destroy Men.
So
John's slogan.
So Please Don't Destroy Boys.
Come on.
So Please Don't Destroy Boys, I said to Jenny, I go, like, what would be your thing that you would ask? What would be your burning question? And I thought it was really cool. She goes, like, it's like that you guys are all together today. The four of us are just here in this room.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, in a certain way, it's a moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's like you look at, like, Lonely Island, like, I'm friendly with all those guys. It's pretty hard to get them all in the same room together.
Mm.
They all have families now, wives and children, like they live on different coasts. And it's like, do you guys ever have this moment of like, oh, this is it. This is the moment in time.
Jake Nordwind, who's a writer at SNL, will constantly say that these are our salad days.
Yep.
And he's like doing it as a bit at this point of like when everyone's like miserable and stressed, he's like, these are our salad days. But it is like true. Like I do totally feel like this way. Is.
Yeah.
It's like the coolest job that I could have ever dreamed of having, and doing it with my best friends is really cool.
Yeah, it's especially SNL where it's like you only have so many hours.
Yeah,
and it's so you can like forget how like fun it is with how stressful it is.
Yeah.
But every Saturday after the show's over, there's this writer, Gary Richardson, who like
I love Gary.
He's the best. He was in Don't Think Twice.
Yeah.
The funniest dude.
He's like the best dude.
A little bit.
Yeah. Oh,
when we were getting ready for that movie, we would improvise with him.
And he's so funny and has a really good like kind of like regarding this, he has like a this idea of like salad days or whatever. He has a good vibe of just kind of like hanging out and having fun, and you can see that he relishes in it. And he does this thing, we do this thing called Writer's Good Nights, where it's after the show. It started as a bit of like, when the cast is all hugging each other on stage, we were in the writer's room going like, should we just go down there? Aww. Like the writers? And then, but it turned into a thing where Gary gives this like pump up speech about like what we did that week and then what we're going to do for the next week. And it's all very ironic and stupid, but it feels like this is the most fun you could ever have. Like,
aww.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's great.
Support for Working It Out comes from Aura Frames. Looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? This is the perfect thing. Aura Frames. It's like a Wi-Fi connected digital picture frame. Jenny and I have these at our apartment. We love them. Super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. I can't say enough about these Aura Frames. So we got them and we loaded up a bunch of photos of like our daughter when she was little and at different stages of development or at different ages, us going to the beach and just vacations and all these kinds of things over the years. And then it just flips to the next photo and the next photo, like every, you know, whatever you put it at, 5 seconds, 10 seconds. And it's wonderful. And it just kind of warms up a room. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's A-U-R-A, frames.com. Use code WIO at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Working It Out is supported by Squarespace. Squarespace is an all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. I should point out that this is an ad for Squarespace, but I love Squarespace. I was thrilled when they became an advertiser because we've used them for years. Our website for Thank God for Jokes was Squarespace. Our website for Stand Up and Vote was Squarespace. Couldn't recommend it more highly. We use it all the time. Start a completely personalized website with the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint. You can sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell memberships or courses, or sell files your customers can download like PDFs, music, or eBooks. Go to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, head to squarespace.com/birbigs, B-I-R-B-I-G-S, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/birbigs to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Okay, slow round. This is called the slow round.
Okay.
Martin, what are people's favorite and least favorite things about you?
Maybe least favorite. Maybe there are things that people dislike more about me. But I think I can kind of, if you can believe it, sometimes I can ramble. Sometimes I'm very like, this is not true at all.
Shocked by this answer.
Really?
Are you doing a bit?
No. Do I not? Because I've been really worried about this.
Ben, you need to respect Martin.
I do.
No. If it's not a problem,
I'm so funny. No, I just thought you were doing a bit about how like you're the quiet one.
No.
And like, what people don't like about you is that you ramble.
I feel like when I'm explaining, I am so worried about a point getting misconstrued that I like am really, will like really double back and like go over every detail of what
Which
I'm
is
saying.
Why all of your answers today have been whittled to perfection. And I thank you.
Oh, my God.
You guys, the two of you.
I hate this dynamic.
By the way, this is the first time we've had four microphones, four chairs. We had to decide. Originally, it was like going to be three of you on one side and just me and the other. And
we're like a principle.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. It is weird.
That is a bit
or dance off, you know?
That we always do with like when we were on late night shows or like even like photos getting taken for a movie. It'll be like, great. So we were thinking, John, if you just come up front here, and then Ben and Martin.
Oh my God!
Guys, just back up a little more.
Funny. A lady did that in our movie,
and we were like, yep, doing just like, back up a little more. Okay.
Yep.
And then John, so just get funny. Closer.
So, and what's people's favorite thing about you, Martin?
Yeah, I don't know. I oh fuck.
Keep it all in.
Keep it all in.
Keep the air.
Keep the air. Keep the air in.
I think maybe I really enjoy writing, and I think I
I really enjoy writing is what people like most about you. Oh.
I don't know. I don't.
Martin, there's we got a big problem
dude,
here,
dude.
Just say something.
Hair.
There you go. That's it.
Oh boy.
I really enjoy writing is your answer. Well, that you're so Martin, I'm sorry. I just feel like we're so close at this point that I feel like I can tell you that like you're just blocking out the compliments of your life. Why don't you guys save him then? What's your favorite?
Mine is that he enjoys writing.
Well, what I meant by that is
mine is that he enjoys writing.
I think sometimes I'm a fun vibe in the room.
Hey, there you go. Yeah.
I like that.
You love. I feel like
that's
people,
a real answer, Martin.
People, yeah.
I want more of that out of you.
People who just know you from like your work wouldn't know that you were like life of the party a little bit.
Oh,
can be in certain situations in a writing
scenario. No, come on.
Can we cut all this?
No way. This is the literally the best part of the whole interview.
It's the only part that's been good.
All right, you go.
But that's good though. Life. I think he did admit that he's a good vibe.
Yeah,
and then you guys affirmed that he's a life of the party kind of guy.
No doubt.
Unexpectedly. In contrast to his
it is
on-screen persona.
It is an intense question in a good way.
What's yours? What are people's least and most favorite things about you?
I tried answering this earlier before you even asked it, and it didn't go well.
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
Mm-hmm.
The shit-talking thing?
Yeah.
Okay, favorite... ask me the question one more time.
What are people's favorite and least favorite things about you?
I think I can be a... God, it is hard, isn't it?
It's really hard.
I think I can be like a calming presence.
Yeah.
That's nice.
When we blow stuff up, you'll be like, let's just...
think I'm level-headed sometimes. This is, I enjoy writing. I'm doing that, aren't I?
I enjoy writing.
I think I'm funny and nice and, you know.
All right. Funny and nice.
What am I supposed to say? What is yours?
Oh, I don't know. I think that what people like about me often is that I'm open emotionally. And I think in my comedy, I try to do that. I try to be open emotionally.
God, that's a good answer.
I think that...
people like that about you?
Yeah, but I think it's a double-edged sword. You just do a double take to the cake of the lens? No.
No, I totally think that that's...
But then it's a double-edged sword because I think that I also sometimes cannot shut it off.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like I'm reading in to the emotion of a situation to a degree where I'm like, oh, this is too much. Like, I'm kind of unbearable.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
And not trying to deflect.
Deflect from you being the third person of this question.
When
and
you
then I'm
have
gonna
a,
go again.
Yeah.
If you go again.
Do you, when you do a podcast, is a good podcast to you one that is more emotionally resonant or one that's really funny?
Well, it's interesting. Recently, like, you know, John Early was on and I, the emotional parts of that I found to be most interesting. He was talking about like missing a sexual prime and it's a joke in his special, which is hilarious, but then we're kind of unpacking that a little bit. And I think that's, in some ways, that's the part I love.
Yeah.
I love funny people opening up.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm into.
Yeah.
Look at all of our body language right now. Does this look like guys who have been opening up?
I'm opened up.
Is mine open or closed? I'm not
moving. You're both.
I think it's both.
Yeah, can we all say it about each other? It feels like that's better.
Yeah. So what's yours about John?
My favorite thing about John is that he is the life of the party.
Oh, that's
always.
Nice.
That's nice.
I think people love being around him.
That's sweet.
And I'm count me as one of those people.
Whoa.
It's nice.
That's super nice.
John is the ultimate like friend. Oh. Like, everybody feels like John is their friend. He's very good at connecting with people, making them feel special.
That's super sweet. Can I say what I was going to say? My answer. Bad, my least favorite thing about me?
Yeah.
Sometimes I bring people in too close and I can seem obnoxious or mean. And that's my least favorite part about me. Through trying to connect to somebody.
Like, in other words, you're doing a bit with someone and it kind of goes too far.
Yeah, like especially in college, like making these guys laugh would be like my goal. So then it would be like, I would just be like crazy at a party or something like that. Like, let's steal these beers. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I was thinking about that recently where like I was like, oh, I remember in college being in class sometimes, and then I remember being in a shopping cart on M Street at 3 yeah, in the morning. Like, the things you remember are just, like, yeah, not what you choose. Do you guys remember, like, it's so funny, like, I always ask this question on the show, like, what's an inauthentic version of yourself from your life? And, like, mm-hmm, a lot of times, like, when I do myself, it's like, when I'm your age. You know what I mean? It was weird talking to you guys because it's like, do you guys have that from when you're younger? Or do you sometimes now go like, oh my God, I'm actually living a thing that I'm going to be embarrassed of later?
Oh, I think about that all the time.
Yeah.
I am embarrassed of every previous version of myself.
Me too.
And it's like on such a short timeline too. Like, totally. In like 2 months, if I listened to this tomorrow, I would be like, yeah, yeah, I hate this guy. I think that's just like the nature of growth, though, is like you're changing as and growing as a person, and then you look back and you're like cringing at who you thought you were.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that the goal is that those, like, it gets smaller and smaller, yeah, where it's like, I look back on a version of myself in college that I'm like, I don't even know who that person is. Like, I would wear a tweed blazer because I was trying to like be old. Like, there's so much, sure, of that stuff where it's like, hopefully now it's like, oh, I didn't need to think that way about my relationship with my mom, or, you know what I mean? Like stuff that is more, mm-hmm, just like emotional and like easier to, instead of like your truly different personality and that matches like what you're wearing, like entirely different versions of yourself or, right, something. You know what I mean?
Can you remember a time in your life where you were so afraid you ran away?
I almost got mugged and ran away.
From where to where?
It was in, I think it was in like Lower East Side, maybe Chinatown. I was like walking around on the phone really late at night, and like these two guys on bikes seemed like they were going to mug me. So I ran. And then I like stopped. It's funny, I haven't thought about this. I like stopped a couple and I was like, these guys are on bikes. And and they thought I was on drugs because they were like, we don't know what you're saying. Yeah.
We're not on the same side.
We don't see anyone. Like, you seem like the dangerous person, yeah, to us right now.
Well, they're just on bikes.
Yeah.
They were just two guys on bikes.
Even according to your story, they are not malicious in any way, shape, or form.
Two guys on bikes. But they were like,
They were talking smack to you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He said, hey, how's it going? I was like,
no! Evening.
Martin, have you ever run away from something?
You know, that reminded me of a time that I briskly walked away when I was talking. It was night. I was in Central Park. I was talking to a stranger, and for about 20 minutes, and then I looked down and he was jerking off.
Oh my God. Didn't even get a run out of Martin.
20 minutes?
Didn't even get a run out of Martin.
I said, oh.
Brisk walk.
Oh, I remember
he started
that.
Following me, and then I went into a lobby of a building,
yeah,
that I didn't live at, so I could wait out.
Slowly we realized Martin is the man.
Yeah.
Was there a group that wouldn't let you in when you were a kid?
Hammercats, the sketch group they were talking about.
Wait, did they not let you in?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So your college sketch group that you guys were in, Martin wasn't in.
Yeah. But then we, later that year, my freshman year, started working together.
Mm-hmm. Just off, separately from the group.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow. Is it because you were just friends?
That you didn't get on?
No, that you started working together.
Oh,
you just were like buddies from school.
Yeah,
we were doing stand up.
Yeah,
And then that he knew John through Hammercats.
But I didn't really know you when you auditioned.
No.
That's what I was going to say. I didn't know Martin when he auditioned.
Yeah.
So he's just some random guy with a bad audition. You don't think twice about it.
Yeah. <You're> sort of,
just kidding.
No, it was terrible. I was so scared and so like this, like low energy. And kind of the way that I am now.
But it's weird that what the end result is that you're the best one in the group.
Yeah.
Isn't life funny?
That is funny.
Damn. It's all so whimsical. what was the group that you guys did, Ben, that you didn't get let into?
I don't know. I guess I remember asking my friend when I was in like grade school if he could help me become popular. And I remember that feeling like, you're a part of something I'm not a part of. Not a real group, but just, yeah. I'm a little bit taking a liberty with the question.
No, I like that though. That's a good initiative you took.
Did you go like, dude, can I talk to you about something?
For real. Fully. I was probably in like third grade.
Right. I thought it was high school.
So you're in third grade and you identify that there's a social group that you're not included in, but you'd like to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And you kind of, it seems like kind of a grown-up thing to do. Just be like, hey.
Hey, help me out.
Hey.
I'd like to be a part of this.
Give me some advice. You can invite me in.
It is such a perfect, innocent third grader thing to do. I'm just like, I notice you guys are all, how can I enter that?
There's something to that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I remember him one time threatening to tell everybody that I had asked him that.
And
I
was like, fuck. Damn. That sucks.
Yeah. That's, go ahead.
What's his name? Where does he live?
Address.
No, but there's something to that because I will say like one of the best pieces of advice, and we always ask this in Slow Round, is like, what's the best piece of advice you've ever been given that you used? And like, for me, it's like, tell people what your dreams are.
Mm-hmm.
Tell people you care about what your dreams are. Because otherwise, there's two things that could happen. One is they support it. The other one is they don't support it.
Yeah.
And either of those is actually fine.
Yeah.
Because they don't support it is, it's a little bit embarrassing, but who cares?
Yeah.
The show business is embarrassing anyway.
Yeah.
Like the good case scenario is you tell them your dream, they go, oh, you know, actually my buddy's doing a sketch thing and maybe they'd want to have you do something. Like Martin.
Yeah.
And then you're working with Martin. But like, there is something to your third grade self that like had, I think, the right idea.
Hey, I'd love to be considered part of the group.
What about you? What about you, John?
I wasn't made fun of at all until freshman year. This is like kind of like Ben's answer where it wasn't a group, just like a cool group of people. And I was finally like made fun of and bullied my freshman year of high school. And I was, because of like videos and stuff, which Ben has a similar story too, of like making YouTube videos and people shitting on them.
Yeah.
And, but then I sang a Katy Perry song at a school talent show and I won them all over. Because it was like everybody knew that I was being bullied. Like I had to go to the dean about it and stuff. So I was like, the best thing I could do is like own it and pretend like I'm hurt. And then I sang a song.
That's also a good instinct.
Yep.
Yeah. Johnny Showbiz was born.
Yeah. Yep.
You three are real winners. Like your answers are even like they represent like a good instinct even when you're younger. Like you're the loser in the story, but actually you're victorious.
Yeah.
No, you became the king.
Yeah,
you won everybody. It was literally awesome. It was probably hilarious.
It was the bit of if it was in a movie, it would be earnestly like I'm just gonna sing anyway, and I like had that emotion as I was singing. Do you ever feel like a plastic bag? And like people were like, oh, he's making fun of the fact that we made fun of him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Humble brag, he's got a good voice too.
Wow.
Thank you.
What? Ooh. Wait, what?
Well, wait.
I know.
So maybe we'll try to end on best piece of advice you've ever used.
Mm.
That you've been given, that you used, either in life or comedy or anything.
I'm curious to hear Martin's answer.
Or John's. The first thing that comes to mind is when we were starting, Carmen Christopher was really, really good to us. He's a comedian who's like hilarious, really funny in LA. And there was a time where we were talking after a show and I told him that I didn't like performing. And he was like, you should just keep doing it. And like, trust me, like just keep performing and don't just like write or whatever. And I was like, you know, it meant like the world to me because he is like the funniest dude still. And at that time, and I'm like 18 or whatever, like that was sick.
I love that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it's very similar to like when young comics ask me like advice, I just go, the best thing you can do is keep doing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like when I witnessed the trajectory of like being in stand-up comedy for 25 years, it's like the people who endure are the people who keep going. And literally their careers go like this and they just hang on.
Yeah.
And then a lot of times they get really good. And even people, you guys will probably experience this down the road. It's like people you underestimate and you're like, the person's kind of a hack. And then they like find it.
Yeah, dude, for sure.
That exact thing happened with John.
Yeah.
And it's been so cool to see him just like get through that.
I know.
Yeah.
And you still see it, obviously.
You see the remnants of it, but it's just,
You've really hung on.
Yeah, man.
Dude.
You really hung on.
Just keep going.
What about you, Ben?
Two things, and I don't know, I guess that it was kind of from a bunch of people, but just start your own show. Like, so you can book people, you can meet other comedians, you have a consistent place to perform.
Yes.
That's like the biggest thing.
Start your own show.
Just start start
and by the way, people listening anywhere.
Yeah.
Seattle, Cincinnati.
Find a bar.
Dallas.
Yes.
It's like, find a bar. Be like, hey, can I split the door with you?
Totally.
If we do a Monday night, do stand up.
Yeah.
I really do feel like we made videos like kind of more like short films before like the TikTok or Twitter stuff. And we mostly did live shows every week. We did a weekly show and we did that for so long. And I really think like doing comedy live, even if it's sketch or improv or whatever, really you can see the difference between just internet people and people that have done comedy live. And I think it's like important to keep.
Just get on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last thing we do is working it out for a cause. And if there's a nonprofit you guys like to contribute to, I'll contribute to them and we'll link to them in the show notes.
Wheels for Meals.
That's not one.
Wheels for Meals.
No, it's not. John, is that yours?
Yeah, it's for oil and stuff.
Wheels, okay, so we're going to contribute to Wheels.
For Meals.
Meals for Wheels. Is that how it came up? Is that you were like, what's our working it out for a cause going to be?
Yeah,
that is 100% how it came up.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is completely ridiculous. This is the most full circle that working it out for a cause has ever been. You made fun of John for like 5 minutes about this earlier. You didn't mention what the context was going to wrap it up in the end. You're motherfucking, please don't destroy. Like, you do not fuck around.
No, bro. Oh.
Geniuses, all of you. Every last one of you. Thanks for coming on, you guys.
We love you.
Thanks for having me. Love you too.
Huge,
really
genuine, huge fans for a long time. This is really cool.
Working it out, because it's not done. We're working it out, cause there's no one.
That's gonna do it for another episode of Working It Out. I love those guys. So much fun. Such a great time. Again, you can watch the whole thing on YouTube. I think you'll get even more out of it. You can check out their short films every week on SNL. You can follow them on Instagram at Please Don't Destroy. If you want to see these guys on tour and you are in London, you are in luck. In March, they are gonna be performing at the Leicester Square Theater, March 16 through 21. I love that theater. Our producers of Working It Out are myself, along with Peter Salamone, Joseph Birbiglia, and Mabel Lewis, associate producer Gary Simons, sound mix
by Ben Cruz, supervising engineer Kate Belinsky. Special thanks to Jack Antonoff and Bleachers for their music. They got a new album coming out soon. It is so good. Special thanks, as always, to my wife, the poet, J. Hope Stein. Special thanks, of course, to my daughter, Una, who built the original Radio 4 Made of Pillows. Thanks most of all to you who are listening. If you enjoy the show, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us out. We had a recent episode with Roy Wood Jr. that broke really wide, which was fun. Like, it was in the news. It was in Variety and all this stuff, because he was talking about all this Daily Show stuff on the show, which I didn't know was news, but then apparently you find out when you have something on the podcast that is news, that it's news. You go, oh, okay. I guess that's that. People hadn't talked about that previously. So that was kind of a cool thing. And people, I think a lot of people found the show, because that was a really popular episode and one of my favorite episodes we've ever done. It's very personal and very Roy. I just want to take a moment, now that we're deep in the 120s of episodes, this little pandemic project that we have made. We've worked really hard on it. We're proud of it. But we thank you, the listeners, for coming on this journey. And if you like the show, tell your friends, tell your enemies. Let's say you're in a comedy sketch group with your friends and you're pitching ideas and you get an argument over what's funny, and then that person becomes an enemy. So here's what you do. You say, hey, let's not fight about what's funny. Let's take a moment and we could share a pair of earbuds and listen to a Working It Out episode with Please Don't Destroy. And then maybe you'll stop arguing and you'll start collaborating. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time. We'll be right here working it out.